Earlier this morning, you heard the words about that incredible parade. Jesus coming into town, everyone cheering, everyone joyful, excited. He's the rock star of the time. So how weird is it that within the short span of a few days, within a week, that those cheers can go to jeers and then to tears? Next week will be Easter Sunday, a time of celebration of resurrection. But you can't celebrate what you don't remember. And you can't celebrate if you simply go from the cheers to the celebration. So this morning, I'd like for us to take a little time to walk that walk with Jesus and his disciples, following the cheers and what happened next. Hear God's word. One of the 12, the one named Judas Iscariot, went to the cabal of high priests and said, "What will you give me if I hand him over to you?" Well, he settled on 30 silver pieces, and he began looking for just the right moment to hand him over. On the first of the days of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus and said, "Where do you want us to prepare your Passover meal?" And he said, "Enter the city, go up to a certain man and say, 'The teacher says, my time is near. I and my disciples plan to celebrate the Passover meal at your house.'" So the disciples followed Jesus' instructions to the letter and prepared the Passover meal. After sunset, he and the 12 were sitting around the table, and during the meal he said, "I have something hard but important to say to you. One of you is going to hand me over to the conspirators." They were stunned. And then they began to ask one after another, It isn't me, Master." And Jesus answered, "The one who hands me over is someone I eat with daily, one who passes me food at the table. In one sense, the Son of Man is entering into a way of treachery well marked by the scriptures." No surprises here. "In another sense, that man who turns him in turns traitor to the Son of Man. Better never to have been born than to do this." And then Judas, already turned traitor, said, "It isn't me, is it, Rabbi?" And Jesus said, "Don't play games with me, Judas." Well, during the meal, Jesus took and blessed the bread, and he broke it. And he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body." And then taking the cup and thanking God, he gave it to them. "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood, God's new covenant, poured out for many people for the forgiveness of sins. I'll not be drinking wine from this cup again until that new day when I'll drink with you in the kingdom of my Father." They sang a hymn, and they went on to the Mount of Olives. And then Jesus told them, "Before the night's over, you're going to fall to pieces because of what happens to me. There is a scripture that says, 'I'll strike the shepherd helter-skelter, the sheep will be scattered.' But after I'm raised up, I, your shepherd, will go ahead of you, leading the way to Galilee." And Peter broke in, "Even if everyone else falls to pieces on account of you, I won't." "Don't be so sure," Jesus said. "This very night, before the rooster crows up the dawn, you will deny me 3 times. And Peter protested, "Even if I had to die with you, I would never deny you." And all the others, they said the same thing. And then Jesus went with them to a garden called Gethsemane. And he told his disciples, "Stay here while I go over there and pray." Taking along Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, he plunged into agonizing sorrow. And then he said, "This sorrow is crushing my life out. Stay here. Keep vigil with me." Going a little ahead, he fell on his face praying, "My Father, if there is any way, get me out of this. But please, not what I want. You, what do you want?" When he came back to his disciples, he found them sound asleep. He said to Peter, "Can't you stick it out with me a single hour? Stay alert. Be in prayer so you don't wander into temptation without even knowing you're in danger. There's a part of you that's eager, ready for something in God. But there's another part that is as lazy as an old dog sleeping by the fire." Then he left them a second time. And again, he prayed, "My Father, if there is no other way than this, drinking this cup to the dregs, I'm ready. Do it your way." When he came back again, he found them sound asleep. They simply couldn't keep their eyes open. And this time he let them sleep on and went back a third time to pray, going over the same ground one last time. When he came back the next time, he said, "Are you going to sleep on and make a night of it? My time is up. The Son of Man is about to be handed over to the hands of sinners. So get up. Let's get going. My betrayer is here." Well, those words, they were barely out of his mouth when Judas, the one from the 12, showed up. And with him, a gang from the high priests and religious leaders brandishing their swords and clubs. And the betrayer had worked out a sign with them. "The one I kiss, that's the one. Seize him." So he went straight over to Jesus. He greeted him. "How are you, Rabbi?" And he kissed him. And Jesus said, "Friend, why this charade?" And then they came on him. They grabbed him. They roughed him up. One of those with Jesus pulled his sword and, taking a swing at the chief priest's servant, cut off his ear. And Jesus said, "Put down your sword. Put it back where it belongs. All of us who use swords are destroyed by swords. Don't you realize that I'm able right now to call my Father and 12 companies more if I want them? Of fighting angels who would be here battle ready? But if I did that, how would the scriptures come true that say that this is the way it has to be?" And then Jesus addressed the mob. "What is this? Coming out after me with swords and clubs as if I were a dangerous criminal? Day after day, I've been sitting in the temple teaching, and you never so much as lifted a hand against me. You've done it this way to confirm and fulfill the prophetic writings." And then all the disciples, they cut out and they ran. The gang that had seized Jesus led him before Caiaphas, the high chief priest, where the religion scholars and leaders had all assembled. Now Peter followed at a safe distance until they got to the chief priest's courtyard, and then he slipped in and he mingled with the servants, watching to see how things would turn out. The high priest, conspiring with the Jewish council, tried to cook up charges against Jesus in order to sentence him to death. But even though many stepped up, making up one false accusation after another, nothing was believable. And finally, two men came forward with this. "He said, 'I can tear down this temple of God and after 3 days rebuild it.'" And the chief priest stood up and said, "So what do you have to say about that accusation?" Jesus, he just kept silent. Then the chief priest said, I command you by the authority of the living God to say if you are the Messiah, the Son of God. And Jesus was curt. He said, you yourself said it, and that's not all. Soon you'll see it for yourself. The Son of Man seated at the right hand of the Mighty One, arriving on the clouds of heaven. At that, the chief priest lost his temper, ripping his robes, yelling, he blasphemed. Why do we need witnesses to accuse him? You all heard him blaspheme. Are you going to stand for such blasphemy? And they all said, death. That seals his death sentence. And they were spitting in his face, banging him around. They jeered him as they slapped him. Prophesy, Messiah. Who hit you that time? All this time, Peter was sitting out in the courtyard. A servant girl came up to him and said, You were with Jesus, the Galilean. And in front of everybody there, he denied it. I don't know what you're talking about. And as he moved over toward the gate, someone else said to the people there, That man was with Jesus, the Nazarene. And again, he denied it, salting his denial with an oath. I swear I never laid eyes on the man. Well, shortly after that, some bystanders approached Peter. You've got to be one of them. Your accent gives you away. And then he got really nervous and he swore, I don't know the man. And just then, a rooster crowed. And Peter remembered what Jesus had said. Before the rooster crows, you'll deny me 3 times. And he went out and he cried. In the first light of dawn, all the high priests and religious leaders met. And they put the finishing touches on their plot to kill Jesus. And then they tied him up and they paraded him to Pilate, the governor. And Judas, the one who betrayed him, he realized that Jesus was doomed. Overcome with remorse, he gave back the 30 silver coins to the high priest, saying, I've sinned. I've betrayed an innocent man. And they said, what do we care? That's your problem. And Judas threw the silver coins into the temple and left. And then he went out and he hung himself. High priests, they picked up the silver pieces. They didn't know what to do with them. It wouldn't be right to give this a payment for murder as an offering in the temple. So they decided to get rid of it by buying the potter's field to use it as a burial place for the homeless. And that's how the field got called Murder Meadow, a name that has stuck to this day. And then Jeremiah's words became history. They took the 30 silver pieces, the price of one price by some sons of Israel, and they purchased the potter's field. And so they unwittingly followed the divine instructions to the letter. Jesus, meanwhile, was placed before the governor, and the governor questioned him, are you the king of the Jews? And Jesus said, if you say so. But when the accusations rained down hot and heavy from the high priests and religious leaders, he said nothing. And Pilate asked him, do you hear that long list of accusations? Aren't you going to say something? And Jesus kept silence, not a word from his mouth. The governor was impressed, I mean, really impressed. And it was an old custom during the feast for the governor to pardon a single prisoner named by the crowd. And at the time, they had the infamous Jesus Barabbas in prison. And with the crowd before him, Pilate said, which prisoner do you want me to pardon? Jesus Barabbas or Jesus the so-called Christ? He knew it was through sheer spite that they had turned Jesus over to him. And while court was still in session, Pilate's wife sent him a message. "Don't get mixed up in judging this nobleman. I've just been through a long and troubled night because of a dream about him." Meanwhile, the high priests and religious leaders, they talked the crowd into asking for the pardon of Barabbas and the execution of Jesus. And the governor asked, "Which of the two do you want me to pardon?" And they said, "Barabbas!" "Well, then what do I do with Jesus, the so-called Christ?" And then they all shouted, "Nail him to the cross!" He objected, "But for what crime?" And they yelled all the louder, "Nail him to the cross! Nail him to the cross! Nail him to the cross!" And when Pilate saw that he was getting nowhere and that a riot was imminent, he took a basin of water and he washed his hands in full sight of the crowd, saying, "I'm washing my hands of responsibility for this man's death. From now on, it's in your hands. You're judge and jury." And the crowd said, "We'll take the blame, we and our children after us." And then he pardoned Barabbas. But he had Jesus whipped and then handed over for crucifixion. The soldiers assigned to the governor took Jesus into the governor's palace. They got the entire brigade together for some fun. They stripped him. They dressed him up in a red toga. They plaited a crown from branches of a thorn bush. They set it on his head. They put a stick in his right hand for a scepter. And then they knelt before him in mocking reverence. "Bravo, King of the Jews," they said. "Bravo." And then they spit on him. And they hit him in the head with a stick. And when they'd had their fun, they took off the toga. They put his own clothes back on him, and then they proceeded out for the crucifixion. Along the way, they came upon a man from Cyrene named Simon and made him carry Jesus' cross. Arriving at Golgotha, the place they call Skull Hill, they offered him a mild painkiller, a mixture of wine and myrrh, but when he tasted it, he wouldn't drink it. After they had finished nailing him to the cross and were waiting for him to die, they whiled away the time by throwing dice for his clothes. And above his head, they'd posted the criminal charge against him. "This is Jesus, King of the Jews." And along with him, they also crucified two criminals, one to his right, the other to his left. And people passing along the road jeered, shaking their heads in mock lament. "You brag that you could tear down the temple and then rebuild it in 3 days? So show us your stuff. Save yourself. If you're really God's son, come down from your cross." The high priests, along with the religion scholars and leaders, they were right there, mixing it up with the rest of them, having a great time poking fun at him. "He saved others. Can't save himself. King of Israel, is he? Well, then let him get down from that cross. We'll all become believers then. He was so sure of God. Well, let him rescue his son now, if he wants him. He did claim to be God's son, didn't he?" And even the two criminals crucified next to him joined in the mockery. From noon to 3, the whole earth was dark. Around mid-afternoon, Jesus groaned out of the depths, crying loudly, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you abandoned me?" Some bystanders who heard him said, "He's calling for Elijah." One of them ran out and got a sponge soaked in sour wine and lifted it on a stick so he could drink. The others joked, "Don't be in such a hurry. Let's see if Elijah comes and saves him." But Jesus again, crying out loudly, breathed his last. At that moment, the temple curtain was ripped in two, top to bottom. There was an earthquake and rocks were split in pieces. And what's more, tombs were opened up and many bodies of believers asleep in their graves were raised. And after Jesus' resurrection, they left the tombs, they entered the holy city, and they appeared to many. The captain of the guard and those with him, when they saw the earthquake and everything else that was happening, were scared to death. And they said, this has to be the Son of God. There were also quite a few women watching from a distance. Women who had followed Jesus from Galilee in order to serve him. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary, mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of the Zebedee brothers. Late in the afternoon, a wealthy man from Arimathea, a disciple of Jesus, arrived. His name was Joseph, and he went to Pilate and asked for Jesus' body. Pilate granted his request. Joseph took the body. He wrapped it in clean linens. He put it in his own tomb, a new tomb only recently cut into the rock. And he rolled a large stone across the entrance. And then he went off. But Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, they stayed, sitting in plain view of the tomb. After sundown, the high priests and Pharisees arranged a meeting with Pilate, and they said, "Sir, we just remembered that liar announced while he was still alive that after 3 days I'll be raised. So we've got to get that tomb sealed until the third day. There's a good chance his disciples will come and steal the corpse and then go around saying that he's risen from the dead. And then we'll be worse off than before, by the final deceit surpassing the first." And Pilate told them, "You'll have a guard. Go ahead. Secure it the best you can." So they went out and secured the tomb, sealing the stone and posting guards. We leave this story now. But may the story never leave us. That horrific sacrifice was made for you. And not without real suffering. There are days when you will feel betrayed. There are times when you will suffer greatly. That comes with this life. But there is one who made the ultimate sacrifice for you. In the coming days, think about your own life. Think about the choices you are making in living your life. A gift to you that can also be a gift to others. A life so loved that the ultimate sacrifice was made for you. Let us pray. Almighty God, We live our lives so confused. We live our lives wandering, forgetting the ultimate sacrifice you made for us, and forgetting that we too have a purpose. In Jesus' name, we claim it.